You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my good friends, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi.
How's it going, everybody?
And we also have Brennicide. Brennicide, how are you doing?
Well, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel there's just a hole in my heart that will never be filled now.
What are you missing? We all have, metaphorically, we've got something missing within our souls, but
I feel the same way, but I feel like if I could really put like a descriptor on it, I feel like it's just, if I could get anything I want in the whole world, it would be somebody introducing me in some kind of ridiculous death metal voice.
If only we knew somebody that did vocals like in his part time, weird scary vocals.
Yeah. But we don't, so we can't.
Yeah, it's a shame. How are you fellas doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been actually, it's not true at all. I'm pretty sick. I called out of work today. I just woke up with it's like that stage of a fever or flu or whatever where everything hurts and you're just loopy all the time. That's just how I feel. I'm going to try to get a lot of sleep and hopefully it doesn't get worse. But besides that, in a general sense, I guess everything's okay.
Yeah. Got that old brown bottle flu from your birthday the other day.
That must have been it.
Yeah. Last time we got together to record, it was kind of a clusterfuck. I'm honestly not what people listening to this show right now. You're gonna just as surprised as I am by what this will actually be, because we recorded some of this talky talk and some phone calls, but then we missed a lot of people didn't show up for their time slot on the phone calls, and it was just kind of a mess. So I thought that maybe we could center around at least one topic for a little while and try to correct ourselves, try to renew our focus. Namaste, all of that stuff. So is that all right with y'all, or do you just want to bullshit?
No, let's just bullshit.
Okay, sounds good to me. So you were bullshitting on Twitter today about something, and
was I?
Yeah. When you were claiming to be sick, you old hungover bastard. You had some thoughts around something, and it seemed to generate a little bit of discussion. I figured that maybe we could explore your thoughts and commune, try to come to an agreement, see multiple angles.
Okay.
Jordan, is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it. I stayed far away from the conversation on Twitter just because I didn't want to get into it with anybody, but you guys seem to be going back and forth, so please proceed, Governor.
Well, you with your bullshit, cowardly take. We're gonna make you drop some fire on this. You're gonna have to take a hard position and just defend it needlessly.
Nah.
All right. What are you thinking, Breno?
Well, this must be in reference to a discussion I had started on Twitter where, and I've honestly been kind of dwelling on this for a while, because it's a phrase that I've still used lately, and everybody around me in the general metal community uses very lightly, and it's the term butt rock. Now, when we talk about butt rock, these days it means something very specific. We're talking about the kind of early outs sort of style of pop radio rock, where you had your Nickelback, you had your Puddle of Mud, Theory of a Dead Man, Breaking Benjamin, all of those sort of more mainstream appeal kind of acts, referred to as butt rock by a lot of people among me. And I've just kind of thought about it, and I was like, yeah, that term probably comes from this sort of very casual era of homophobia that, you know, I think a lot of us experienced when we were younger, where we would just be like, oh man, that shit's gay, like when something was stupid, you know, without really thinking about what we were saying. Right. So
Well, that would, given what we know about everything, it would make sense that it would make total sense, right? For a popular term for a specific genre of rock and roll to be derived from homophobia, just because that's the way that everything has operated for forever.
Yes.
So I can see where you're coming from with that. But by all means, go on. Continue with this.
Well, I mean, it's more or less it. I mean, you have a term like butt rock, and a lot of guys point out to me, and I already knew this. There would be radio stations kind of in the late 90s, early aughts, that would say something like everything but rock.
Rock, nothing but rock.
Oh, rock, nothing but rock. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. That what I said made no sense. So I kind of understand that where the pun comes from, but it doesn't really excuse the intention with making the pun. You know, you still kind of slide that in there and you have your own little twist on it, like more like butt rock. Am I right, fellas? Yeah. So it's like, I'm just kind of investigating that a little bit. I'm kind of calling that out. I'm saying, well, what does that mean? Why are you saying it like that? It's not to keep rambling, but it's kind of like the term butthurt, you know? Like, what do people really mean when they say that? I'm just sort of evaluating where that comes from.
Right. So butthurt would be like you have a pain in your ass because you got fucked in your ass, right? That's right. Where that term comes from.
Right. You might as well call a guy an F-slur if he's being whiny about something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just about the same exact thing, because it's implying that, oh, you know, that must be something that's happening to you, being the wussy that you are. So that's why I take issue with that term. And I feel like butt is sort of just used in this term in the exact same context.
See, that's interesting. And I guess I had never considered it from that angle, because to me, I guess every experience that I've had would be it was the case of like, rather than saying it was like effeminate or somehow homosexual, that butt rock would be the opposite of that. It would be something that was very knuckleheaded and stupid for another, or overtly unnecessarily macho. And I think that I got that because I had always heard it in reference to bands that basically did the Jarl, you know, like Pearl Jam and Creed,
right.
and
arms wide open,
with arms wide open,
right. Which, and I agree with you. I understand that, but I think it's I don't think it's very well thought out from where it's coming from, because like I said, back when I was a 14, 15 year old Brenicide, and I was, you know, immature, and all my other friends are immature, we would just replace stupid or dumb with, you know, like, oh man, don't see that movie, it's so gay. You know, we would just say shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we would apply the same sort of shit to this sort of other stuff. And where I was coming from with that is, you know, oh, that bullshit, bunch of butt rock, you know, like it's like, oh, these guys fuck each other in the butt to this. Like, that's where that kind of stupid teenage shit comes from, you know? And so I kind of evaluated that, and I called it out a bit because I think it's a term that gets thrown around loosely, I mean, still among guys that are, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of a bit more woke or whatever.
I would have a hard time describing a band like Godsmack is anything other than butt rock in my mind, because that's just like a really like crystal ideal of that vision of like really testosterone laden, simple, stupid music.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is that hyper masculinity often got called out as homosexual quite frequently, actually. You know, you have guys who lift a lot of weights, and there are a lot of jokes on stand up about how, you know, they wanted to kiss boys and shit. It's just, it's always been this really strange kind of back and forth between men who are too masculine or too effeminate or what that means. Right. So I just, you know, I think there's a lot of confusion, and it's warranted. I would never imply that anybody who says this kind of stuff is like a bad person or secretly homophobic or whatever. I don't know. I think it's just one of those things that gets thrown around and we don't really stop and think why. So
that is an interesting thing you bring up, though, like the dichotomy of too masculine versus not masculine enough, and like where you need to fall on that scale. Like, because I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember watching, you know, Comedy Central at my buddy's house and seeing stand-up comedians just looking like a bucket of shit and, like, talking about how, you know, like, clothes that don't fit and, like, a gut hanging out, and just talking about, like, oh, can you believe these bodybuilder types wasting all your time at the gym? And you're looking at this dude that's like, it's clear to me that you did not shower before you recorded this stand-up set.
Right. I think the truest definition of masculinity is a guy in what I like to refer to as kill yourself blue jeans. the ones you just get from Walmart that just aren't tight and aren't baggy, and they just sit right where they're supposed to. And
right over your New Balance.
New Balance shoes. And your balding head and your shaven face, because you're not a hipster enough to have a beard, you know?
Right. The most masculine person ever, Artie Lang.
And you get a buzz cut, of course, because if you were to get long hair and put it up in a bun, you know, you'd be a huge pussy, so.
What do you think? I hate to keep stepping on Jordan here. What do you think about this kind of weird?
So I would say that, yes, I agree with what Bruno is saying, is that there's kind of this underlying, rather than just saying the default gay, it has just been replaced with the word butt rock, is what a lot of people have been using this for. I've kind of always interpreted the term butt rock as kind of a reaction to, or opposite reaction to, the term cock rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So kind of the 80s glam and even like AC/DC, that sort of like big arena rock where it's all braggadocious, it's loud, it's, you know, hey, check out my crotch type music.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these bands that have been called butt rock, whether it's, like you said, like Stone Sour or Nickelback or Breaking Benjamin, or any of these bands, have kind of been on the flip side of that, in that it's more, I guess, emotional, kind of, it still has that little like aggression to it, but it's a little bit of a softer flip side to things.
Oh, yeah.
Where instead of, hey, look at my cock, it's kind of like, I kind of have feelings and I don't know how to express them, so I'm just kind of going to yell during the verses and sing sweetly during the choruses. So that's right. How I've always kind of interpreted the use of butt rock.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we got cock rock, which is sort of a term of endearment, you know, that's sort of that male power fantasy surrounding genitalia. Like, you know, here's my dick and I'm proud of it. I'm going to swing it all over the stage and yarl and do my thing. But it's like over here on the other end, it's like, well, this is where the cock goes, so to speak.
Oh, okay. I kind of get where you're coming from now.
Yeah, so I think that's more Jordan's comparison.
Totally the hair metal or cock rock thing, that makes sense. Like, you got dudes in with teased hair and makeup, like singing about their dicks and using their dicks on children.
Right.
In the case of like Winger.
Yes, very much so.
But you know, maybe this is just the way that I see the things in my head. But cock rock, I hear high pitched falsettos to it, and butt rock, it's like you're singing from your butt. That's where the yarl comes from. It's when you're singing from your diaphragm, it's like your diaphragm is actually located a little bit lower in your ass.
Right. It's like, this is music that comes from an anus.
Yeah.
I get that too, and I'm sure that's what most people who've been kind of casually using this term, you know, these days have likened it to. But to kind of go back, I think cock rock was more of a descriptor of music that was kind of going on in the 70s, that very sort of pompous, misogynist kind of lyrical stuff, like from the Stones and Led Zeppelin, things like that, where these guys were like pretty much just, you know, grind fucking their mic stands and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, man. But I think that like, if you've ever seen like the decline of Western civilization, mm-hmm. part two, like it's clear that there's a direct lineage of like Led Zeppelin fucking children and singing about their dicks and going straight to like rat.
Poison. For sure. But here's the interesting thing that I did not plan to get out of this is I got some my guy Ludwig here on Twitter. I don't know his actual handle. I think it's his actual handle is like Let's Fucking Go or something. Great. I don't good know handle. What it is, but yeah, good handle, man. Good on you. But he was a guy who kind of came up in the 80s metal scene. So he said, oh, man, I mean, you're kind of wrong about the timeline. Like me and my buddies used this term to describe glam back in the 80s. You know, we called it butt rock, and we definitely meant what you said. We were essentially just calling it gay, which I thought was super interesting because, as I said to him, I was like, you know, in kind of retrospect, I probably picked up these terms trolling on like metal web forums back in the early outs, which I'm sure were just loaded up with these old dogs from the 80s. So it kind of, I guess this term sort of predates what I thought it did, and it sort of confirms my point with that, essentially.
That would make sense. So like what we were saying at the beginning, like, you know, the Urban Dictionary definition of butt rock saying that it came from like some radio campaign, nothing but rock. And then people were like, yeah, butt rock. So clearly there might have been a that term used, you know, well before that to imply that, yeah, like those dudes take it in the butt because their music's bad. And if your music's bad, it must be that you're a homosexual. That kind of, you know, tortured childish thinking.
For sure. So, I mean, I can't definitively say anything for sure. Slang is just sort of a weird, you know, ever morphing, evolving thing. So I'm sure when people use it these days, when they say butt rock, they use it to say, okay, this is ass. Because right. Very recently, we'll go see a movie, I'd be like, oh man, don't see that movie. That movie was complete ass. We'll use ass as like this very descriptive word. Whereas before, we were a little more simile than we were metaphor. We'd say, you know, oh, it smells like ass in here, as opposed to, yo, it definitely smells ass in here, dog. You know? So, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I guess probably to just be on the safe side, we should figure out a different way to refer to it, because I just you know, you might just say it in front of the wrong guy one day, kind of thing.
I think that, you know, this, and I think this is where I disagree. I think that maybe that the meaning has been so lost in time that it might be okay to use it. But more importantly, when I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, so like, if Motley Crue is cock rock, and if Godsmack is butt rock, like what came in the middle? And that would be taint rock. And the closest thing I can think of, like, grundle rock. You got like something that was kind of glammy and something kind of post grungy. Ugly Kid Joe. Ugly Kid Joe is the definition of grundle rock.
Right.
Jackal.
Oh, wow.
Like Faith No More and Jackal, definitely.
I could see Faith No More being grundle rock.
Grundle rock? Oh, yeah. Definitely grundle rock. I don't know how I'm going to seriously move on from this. Because grundle is such a funny word. Like, I've been in high school thinking for all day, so.
It sounds like the worst Sesame Street ripoff show. Everyone comes down to grundle rock.
I composed
myself, but go ahead.
Grundle and chode, I think those are the two best high school insults. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I think the term got lost over time. I can't knock it because I know what I meant when I used to say it.
Okay.
I guess.
And you know what's in your heart when you're doing it. So I can't argue with that as much as I want to.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that. Okay, well, Motley Crue is cock rock, but then we got this guy telling me that Motley Crue is butt rock. So the only conclusion we can come to is that Motley Crue is dick butt rock.
Can't argue with that logic, man.
Right. Jordan, Jordan, what do you think about Dick Butt Rock? What are your final? I mean, you gotta say. So I know I've been squashing you this whole show. Let's say
I think it's all generational and regional. I mean, we're both from the Northeast. Joe's from Texas. You know, obviously, there's some cross pollination for growing up around the same time and watching the same TV shows and whatever.
We don't have homophobia down south, though.
No way.
Yeah, well, the thing is where Jordan and I come from, you know, it's like, well, what do you like, the Yankees? What are you, some kind of fucking queer? You know, but where you come from, it's like, boys, I just found out that old Joseph is a queer. We got to go get the pickup truck and beat some sense into him. So it's a little more dangerous.
Wrong. Yeah, unfortunately.
A little more dangerous where you come from, so... I don't think the loose definitions are as, you know, tossed about. I think it's dead serious where you hail from.
That's especially when I was a kid. You did not want to. Yeah, well, that's got extremely depressing and stuff I haven't thought about in a while. That's cool. Anyway. Speaking of cock rock, by the way, like I saw this pop up in my feed today because one of our gremlins was commenting on it. I certainly don't follow blabbermouth.net on social media because I value my sanity. But this popped up. It was an interview with Slash, who praised Aerosmith, saying that they're one of the last real rock and roll bands around. And I felt like the start of an embolism pop up when I was reading this.
You smelled burnt toast?
I did. My mouth tasted like almonds.
Jesus Christ, does anybody over the age of 41 have a cell phone? Like, how the fuck does he think that?
So we talked about it on our last show of 2017. That we 2017 was, by all accounts, a pretty bad year. You know, a lot of bad things had happened. But we counted in the win column, one of the good things is that Aerosmith finally hung it up. And then found out weeks later that they decided, nah, we're gonna keep going. So 50-plus years of Aerosmith just shitting up the place.
Yeah, right.
But to answer your question, how does Slash think that? What kind of life do you think Slash has where he has any sort of, like, really normal interaction over the past 30 years? He hasn't. He plays his guitar. He goes, he's been with Guns N' Roses for years, and, like, he doesn't go to the store, right? Yeah. Oh, like, no one sees Slash buying a gallon of milk and some Hot Pockets anytime soon.
Why the fuck not?
Speaking of butt rock, wasn't he in Velvet Revolver?
Yeah. All right. Butt rock is now an okay term, specifically because Velvet Revolver exists. So taking it all back, the last 20 minutes is gone, struck from the record.
But yeah, what is an everyday? What do you imagine a day in the life of Slash is like, Jordan?
Wake up at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Drugs. More drugs.
I assume he wakes up first thing in the morning, but dawn isn't good enough. He's got to really get that good high noon sun to get through the hair in his eyes before he realizes it's morning.
All those rocker guys are, you know, in various states of being sober, right? Like, surely he kicked whatever it was years ago, and now he's just really
I believe he's sober.
I'm sure that's a thing.
He's just really into activated cashews and eating nothing but organic criminy mushrooms.
Concussion preventing water.
Yeah.
Can you activate a cashew? I wasn't aware. I thought it was an almond
that specifically got activated. I think you can do both. Because I got so into the idea of, that really activates my almonds, that dumb meme. Apparently all you do to activate them is soak them overnight. What that does for them, you got soggy almonds. That's apparently the state of activation.
Oh, I see. So they're saying it's because these things are essentially seeds, they're trying to grow some sort of plant out of it temporarily in a very minimal way, and therefore it's activated.
I guess so. You know, there was that real trend in the early 2010s of, you know, like Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop and shit, like, getting really, really involved in these completely asinine, super expensive, all-natural organic diets with all of these alkalized things that don't do a fucking thing for you. But I digress. That's exactly what Slash is into. That's his drugs now.
Or hot yoga.
Yeah, both. You know, he does 3 hours of hot yoga a day and follows it up with some activated almonds.
Get his blood transfusion from young people to keep his skin supple.
I don't think Slash goes into places to get hot pockets or milk because you need to have a shirt for service.
Oh.
He has a top hat. That's good enough.
Yeah.
So we mentioned it earlier, but the Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, you know, Joe Perry and Steven Tyler were in that movie. That one was made in like 1987 or something, 30 years ago, and they were talking about how they were sober, you know, at that point. I don't know if they stuck with it for those 30 years or not, but like when I'm imagining like what rock and roll is all about, you know, it's a couple of old men with like God, they must be in their 70s with, you know, 5-year-old children who I don't know, haven't done drugs in 30 years. That's rock and roll, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. anytime I have to think about Aerosmith, I'm not in as good as mood as I was before not thinking about Aerosmith, let alone Slash. So now it's like I got this double whammy, and I just don't even know. I don't know anything about these people anymore. Like, I know Velvet Revolver's not a thing anymore because lead singer's dead.
Yeah,
Scott Weiland.
Scott Weiland's gone. He's no longer of this earth. And then you got Arrows. I think Steven Tyler was in American Idol, right? A judge for a little while.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, I think you're right. And they, of course, put out Honkin' on Bobo a couple of years ago.
She can honk on Bobo D's nuts.
Hey.
He looks like a deranged aunt now from like Long Island. He looks nuts now, Steve Tyler.
Now he looks nuts.
No, I mean before you thought it was bad, but now it's like, Jesus, how does he even step outside like that? Like, you gotta, I mean, with all the money he has, you'd think he'd physically edit something going on there, but I don't know. Maybe he has. Maybe that's the problem. I think that's usually when celebrities get older, they look like such freak mutant monsters because they try to do some sort of major cosmetic modification of themselves, and it just ends up looking so lizard and terrifying and horrible.
Which, I always wonder at what point Liv Tyler is going to start looking like her dad.
Now? I don't know.
The thing is, they want the attention, you know. Steven Tyler wants people to go, there's Steven Tyler. That's why you never see him wearing like a baggy Gap hoodie and cut off shorts and flip flops. He needs to be in a stupid scarf and, you know, giant sunglasses with his teased out soccer mom hair.
Yeah, I feel like he was in like the sweat clothes you were talking about, but with stupid sunglasses. I think that's specifically the picture I'm referencing with him looking like a freak aunt or something.
Yeah, especially when he has like a wispy Fu Manchu. Yeah, no, that was the thing. He tweeted out like a picture of himself with like a horrible Fu Manchu mustache, all stringy and shit. It's like, ladies, as long as I have a face, you'll always have a place to sit.
Ugh. Yeah. I want to die.
This fucking Blabbermouth article, though, it says that Joe Perry was quoted as saying, Slash doesn't make any bones about the influence we had on him. They turned into a great, great band. They sure made their mark. Like, wow.
Those what kids, amazing you know? Praise.
For this band that sold, like, I don't know, 100 million units of Appetite for Destruction?
Fuck, man, yeah. I mean, it's like, didn't Aerosmith... Who was unable to follow who? Was it Metallica opening for Guns N' Roses or Guns N' Roses opening for Aerosmith?
Yeah, and that's when James Hetfield got hurt, and then they had to stop the show in Montreal, and then Guns N' Roses could come on and play it, and they just went, nah.
But I think there was some kind of story where, and it's related to Guns N' Roses somehow, where they really, really fucking upstaged a very legendary band, and I think it was Aerosmith. I think they opened for Aerosmith, but they were Guns N' Roses, and everybody loved them so much more that Aerosmith had to follow them up, and it just, you know, they couldn't compete. I think some sort of story along those lines. So it's just funny to hear Joe Perry later, like, oh, your kids did all right.
I can't believe that this is the world we live in, man. Like, Guns N' Roses, they make like a bazillion fucking dollars to get on stage, and, you know, Axl puts a girdle around his disgusting gunt for enough to get through Sweet Child of Mine. And that's just enough to be like the biggest selling concert package like on earth. And Aerosmith, again, as we've addressed before, just refusing to give it up.
Yeah, they got to be out in some bus somewhere in the middle of Boston, upsetting everybody's quiet evening, just playing a free show randomly.
Got nothing. There's too much apologia around Guns N' Roses, by the way, for my tastes. I think that way too much dap, especially within the metal community. I don't get it. That's me. I don't understand the craze for it.
The appeal. You're not a Guns N' Roses guy.
No, because I heard these records when I was a kid, and I think specifically hearing "Use Your Illusion," I was like, "Oh, this sucks!" Actually, like this is super weak. Man, it's like forgetting like the videos from around those times too, like where Axl is swimming with dolphins and shit.
He had very yellow teeth at a young age. That's all I remember about him. From those fucking VH1 specials. He was a gross dude. He was a short, gross, gingy fucking guy from the second he was, you know, made public. But he fucked many ladies anyway. Because that's not what matters when you're a rocky boy. Good. I'm glad to hear you say it. I hate Guns N' Roses. I've always seriously hated Guns N' Roses. They're just... I don't know if it's just the fact that they're typical. Because, of course, there's that aversion to that. Because I want to be elitist and cool. But I think it's more the fact that their music just isn't very good. I don't like it. Just the greatest riff of all time. Are you kidding me? Booty, 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 booby, boo. It's fucking terrible. I hear that and I cringe.
I hate that riff. That's a bad riff. But like Slash himself said that he wrote that riff like as a joke. It wasn't. It was like a joke riff.
Sounds like it. What do you think, Jordan? Guns N' Roses?
Zero interest in Guns N' Roses. Okay. Oh, no, thank you.
All right. Christ.
It reminds me of like being at a carnival. That's the type of music that blasts when like the big Viking ship goes up and pokes people side to side.
Yeah.
I hear Sweet Child of Mine and I smell vomit with wood shavings applied sloppily over it.
Yeah, and just like the output from like a fried bread stand.
Yeah,
somewhere fried dough. That's what I was thinking. Fried bread.
The BO from some one-eyed carny.
Speaking of which, the Big E is coming up in my area.
What is that?
And the Big E is it's just like essentially a tri-state fair in New England. And,
okay, because your states are so small, you don't have big bawling fairs like we have in the state of Texas.
This is a bawling fair. It's the worst, most bawlingest fair. It sucks so much. The traffic is ruined all month. Like every idiot is always talking about it. And they're always talking about the same stupid shit they do every year. I hate it so much. I want to be an elitist contrarian. So when everyone else has fun, I get angry.
What bands are playing? Because real bands tend to play these festivals. And so it's interesting to see who shows up.
I think Ice-T is playing. I want to see if he'll do a Body Count song.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'll go ask him when I see him at the Big E, you guys.
Yeah, and everyone gets excited, and then when it comes to saying a certain word, everyone just kind of clams up and looks around awkwardly.
Yeah, I hope he does, like, Cop Killer or whatever.
I saw Blues Traveler at the State Fair of Texas once. It was... acceptable.
Yeah, I'm always thinking of like the 70s sort of folk radio bands always play these things, like Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh yeah,
like Jim Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, like those that like still exist somehow and always play these things.
I think those guys are dying off, and you're going to see like the summer Gen X tours like taking over instead. You know, it's all going to be Sugar Ray.
Yeah, there was one a couple years ago, and I'm sorry I didn't know about it. It was like Fuel and Trapped played for like $10. I'm like, well, for $10, what the hell? I would have went, but
Fuel and Trapped.
Why the hell not?
Speaking of Yarlin,
far away,
you're my tear master.
Let's see. I don't know who this band is. They got some denim jackets and there's some hands in some pockets there. The Marshall Tucker Band.
Yeah, what was their big hit? What was their big hit?
Was it Fool Around and Fall in Love? Was that Marshall Tucker Band?
I think you might be right.
Just two metal.
I'm doing the our listeners' favorite thing is I'm Googling what we're talking about to make sure that I'm not.
Who are you saving them the trouble?
That's right. The Beach Boys will be playing the Big E. That's always great. They'll be coming on after Jacob Sartorius, and I don't know what he does except looks 8 years old.
Marshall Tucker Band did "Can't You See?" It's not a bad band. And they also did
"Bad Woman."
Been good to me. But even better, they did Hurt It in a Love Song, which, as you will recall, was in Crank 2, when the scene of Amy Smart and Jason Statham banging on a horse track, yes.
Was that Crank 2 or I think that might have been the original Crank?
That was the original one, yeah, you're right.
Because that's the only one I've seen, and I know what you're talking about.
In the original one, he like openly bangs her out in the open, like on like a mailbox or something.
He does it in both of them.
You can't get rid of a good bit like that.
Yeah. I seriously can't wait for. They need to make a Crank 3. I love those movies so much. Like
it's actually, if you're like a fan of cinematography, those are like good movies. They do all sorts of experimental stuff. They're pretty wild.
The second one is made like to look like a video game. It is very, very silly and over the top, and it is so much fun. And if I can give one recommendation to people, like, you know, I don't give a fuck if you don't like any of the music I like, or you know, share my political opinions. Who gives a fuck about that? Go watch Crank 2.
Well, speaking of video game movies, I actually just watched on Netflix Hardcore Henry. That's a video game movie, 1,000%.
I have that in my queue. I remember hearing when that came out, like that it was an experience to go like see it at the theater. So I was a little hesitant. But what do you think? What is it good?
Good, you know, with a caveat. But it's a first person the entire movie from the perspective of Henry, who's like a cyborg tough guy, doing a shit ton of parkour and fighting lots of bad guys throughout Russia. I mean, it's a straight up video game. It's a first person shooter. So you're going to have fun. It's absurdly violent and, you know, very basic storyline. But you like playing Doom, you like playing any first person shooter, you're probably going to like this.
So, but it's not really Oscar nominated material.
But it's definitely like a movie you'd enjoy as long as you acknowledge it's dumb. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right up my alley then. So,
dumb shit.
Yeah, no, I love dumb shit. We all do.
I think we should watch Hardcore Henry, but then turn the music off and then just listen to Appetite for Destruction during the whole movie. Just gotta max out dumb shit.
Oh, Christ. I hate especially Paradise City. I think that's my least favorite. I don't know. That's a tough call. I hate a lot of Guns N' Roses songs, but Paradise City is the line like where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. I don't know why, but I was reading an interview with Slash forever ago where the initial line was supposed to be where the girls are fat and they got big titties, and they had to change it for radio consideration or whatever.
Although it could conceivably sound dirtier if you really think about it.
That's fair. Also, did you guys ever see like the original artwork for Appetite for Destruction?
No.
it's a robot or a monster raping a woman. Like, it is incredibly graphic. and they had to, they couldn't use it in the United States. I think it's like on the inside cover for like the UK release. But it's super fucking gross and graphic. And it's weird to think that that album, like the one that initially had that album cover, like has sold again like a 10 bazillion fucking copies.
Well, at least we know where that Spinal Tap scene got its, you know, inspiration.
Christ, yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of like dumb shit that people love, did you see that Thriller got supplanted for the number one selling album again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thriller by Michael Jackson ousted, no longer number one, replaced instead with The Greatest Hits of the Eagles.
I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
We live it like Donald Trump is president. Of course, it makes sense that the best selling fucking record of all of America would be the best of the fucking Eagles.
I'm curious as to how these numbers come about. Like, which version? Does it matter which version? Are we talking like, is this included with greatest hits? Is this, you know, the 30th anniversary version? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because bands release the same album over and over and over again. And like, I mean, geez, Metal Blade puts out a new vinyl version of a King Diamond album every other week. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, is this just Thriller comes out with the 30th anniversary super platinum edition, and then all of a sudden it becomes number one again?
Man, it's gotta be that. Like, that's gotta be the case that they keep updating it. Oh shit! Also, apparently the number one record is the Eagles' The Greatest Hits 1971 through 1975. Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 2 is 75 through 80. Apparently, people don't like that shit as much.
So we're going back and forth about you know, the best of the Eagles and Guns N' Roses, and I don't know why I remember this, but I just have this anecdote where I when I was very young and I listened to whatever was rock and roll, I bought the very like the best of Guns N' Roses, like the Guns N' Roses collection, whatever it was on CD. Folks, essentially the best of Guns N' Roses is Appetite for Destruction, so don't bother. Oh,
yeah.
But this CD in particular, when you took the CD out of the case, it had a graphic on it that just made it look like a fucked up, scratched up CD. That's just how it was designed. And I remember my dad found it just somewhere, and he gave me like a mountain of shit, and I couldn't explain to him that the CD was supposed to look like that. He was laying into me about how I just don't take care of anything and I don't respect things that I own or so that's probably why I really hate Guns N' Roses, is because of childhood.
Seriously,
trauma.
You got owned by Axl Rose via your dad.
Sorry. Way to go, Axl, you piece of shit.
Yeah, man, like that's how they get you though, the Greatest Hits Volume 1, Volume 2 thing. Like, I had a Greatest Hits of Creedence Clearwater Revival that I bought back when you had to buy CDs and when CDs were expensive. And I was so fucking mad that Born on the Bayou wasn't included with it. They threw that one in Volume 2. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
But I apologize, listener, for talking so much about old man music. I will definitely close the show with Gore Grind.
Hell yeah. What's something new and improved that just came out that is just super fun?
What was that thing about, like, Unicorn Semen? Or there's
Rebel Wizard.
Rebel Wizard, that shit rules, man.
I haven't gotten past the name yet.
You haven't, no.
And also don't want to Google it at work.
Yeah, Rebel Wizard, like, I listened to this just yesterday, and I was blown away because it's like, it's kind of like trad metal infused with, like, some first wave black metal. And it is very cool sounding, very fun. And obviously, like, this song they put out about, like, unicorn semen is, they're not taking themselves too seriously.
They're from Australia, so of course they're not.
Oh, well, that changes everything. I don't want to listen to
that.
No,
it's not funny anymore. You're just being Australian.
Let's edit this whole part out now.
Yeah. The track they put out the other day is called Drunk on the Wisdom of Unicorn Semen.
Oh, yeah. I'll check it out. We'll check out Rebel Wizard. Yo, the guy's got some serious graphic arts. That logo is sick. He's got a good. What's he in a hood here? He's holding up some. What are these, Jackson Kellys? This guy's cool as hell.
No, I'm thinking about, now that you mentioned the Australian, other Australian, I guess, extreme metal bands, and a lot of them are kind of goofy.
What do you think? What are you talking about, Willis? Who you got in mind?
Well, I mean, isn't King Parrot from Australia?
Yes, they're extremely Australian.
And there was also the Berserker. I don't know if you guys remember them.
Like industrial. Do you want to make my fuck Berserker?
Yeah, that's the one.
They were like, you know, this, I guess, extreme industrial deathish metal type band that all wore masks, of course. But I remember them specifically covering that TATU song, All the Things You Said, but in like their version. And there's actually a video of it, and it's kind of entertaining, but it just kind of puts in this whole little perspective of, are Australians weird? And I think they kind of are.
As a total aside, I'm kind of checking out Rebel Wizard, and this guy is charging $10 for his digital album, which is, you know, I think that's kind of bullshit to be charging $10 for a digital album these days. He does have 10 tracks, but it's like one of them's an intro track. You want me to spend a full iTunes dollar on an intro track, bro? Come on.
$5 or less on digital. Come on.
As somebody who buys a lot of stuff from Bandcamp digitally, please do me a solid. Do me a favor. To Rebel Wizard's credit, you can buy tracks individually, so if you don't want the intro, you can just pay $9 for the rest of them.
It's doing okay. I mean, looking at the sales on it for people who support it, it's got probably 40, 50 downloads, but, I mean, come on, man. If you threw it up there for maybe $8 most, I think people would be happier, more likely to buy it. I think the official Bandcamp stance is, hey, put your digital album up for $7. Those seem to be the most popular.
Oh, well, I think that is what they say.
They're on prosthetic, right?
Yeah.
Prosthetic? Oh, that's another thing, too.
So it might be more of a label.
Fucking labels, man.
Fucking corporate bullshit.
What are you guys doing? You got all your fucking album sales pocketed, man.
Gotta get your beak wet.
God damn.
Jordan, are you friends with the prosthetic people?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Am I?
We'll keep no, talking shit.
No, I'm gonna edit this out.
Yeah, I'm not friends with anyone. Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we certainly have a perfectly fine relationship with them, but not BFFs.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Yeah, we're not beholden to anybody.
That's right. The independent radio baby.
Please, God, pay us.
Yeah, give me the money. Give me the money.
Sell out so hard, so fast.
Oh, yeah. Anybody out there listening, if you want us to sponsor anything, it could be butt cream. It doesn't matter. Because this is a butt rock episode, so we could, we could sell Preparation H, whatever. We'll hawk the shit out of it.
Like, I put it on Twitter the other day, like as a joke, quote unquote. I'm not joking. I'm broke and I need some fucking money. I figured out that I just need $250,000 and all of my problems will be solved forever. So I'm willing to sell my personal stake in Toilet of Hell for that. So if you want to get at me with offers, we'll work out some details. But in the meantime, I will also sell whatever horrible product you've got. Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, hit me up. I'll help you sell your weapons of mass destruction or whatever the hell. Don't give a fuck. Need the money.
InfoWars virility pills.
Ooh. I think because, you know, those are not regulated in any way. Mm-hmm. The Ben Shapiro sells his dumbass brain pills. InfoWars, they sell their dick pills. It would make total sense for us to just like slap a label on a can of Metamucil pills and Toilet of Hell fiber supplements.
Yeah. There you go. Make your toilet experience not so hellish.
Yeah, and unlike the brain pills or the dick pills, the fiber pills will actually make your life better.
Right, they'll actually improve your quality of life.
We'll just make our own pills, stuff them with rancid chicken, and that'll pretty much have the same effect.
No, okay. I can't speak highly enough about the wonders of fiber supplementation to your diet, because none of you are getting enough fiber, none of you are getting enough water. If you increase your fiber and you increase your water, you're going to poop gold coins. It's going to be a great experience.
Just just eat like 4 bowls of Apple Jacks a day. You'll drink your milk, you'll eat your Apple Jacks, you'll get the fiber in the water. It's right in there.
They don't taste like apples, though.
That's the secret. Neither does Metamucil, right?
I could have sworn I was seeing something that apparently breakfast cereals contain like toxic amounts of some kind of glucose inside of them, which makes a lot of sense because they taste good. But when I was a kid, you know, I'd eat breakfast cereal like I had 7 bowls for dinner.
We used to eat Pop-Tarts and drink orange juice.
Yeah, man. That's probably why I have the flu, is because I'm looking at a box of Apple Jacks and I'm just like, you fucking, you glucosed me. I got the glucose sickness.
I got the glucose real bad, Doc.
Yeah, man. It's apparently all of the things I consumed from the ages of 1 to 25 are horrifically toxic. Who knew? So... I'm sure that won't be an issue later on in life. Everything's going to be fine. We're all going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're probably running out of time on this sode. Is there anything else that we should address, consider, question?
I think we're going to call it. I think we're all set. This is just a shout out to Google. Can you stop showing me tabs about James Maynard Keenan? Like, I like him. That's not why I was looking him up.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out the rest of that story later, Paul Harvey style. Yeah, I guess for your friendly neighborhood toilet, I have been Joe Thrash and Kill. And who have you guys been?
I've been Brennicide.
360 ways far. Got it in.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.